Welcome to the Grace Hour, friends, on this Wednesday morning. And we want to thank you for taking the time to join us. And we hope that you will stay with us for the next 45 minutes or so as we try to unravel and unwrap our theme for today's broadcast, which is sexuality and the culture. And, of course, when you think of those two things put together, we have a lot to talk about. But, of course, we want to approach this from a biblical perspective because, again, you're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends. And this is a daily Christian broadcast, which helps to, well, you as the believer to navigate through the challenges and helps you to learn about your faith in a more practical way. And we hope that today's broadcast will contribute to that end. But we want to remind our listeners that during the broadcast, our phone lines will be open. And if you would like to join us, please feel free to do so. Pick up the phone, dial one of these numbers. Join us live in the broadcast with your comments and your questions. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number in all of North America. And if you are anywhere in North America, dial that number. Join us live on the broadcast today. And if you're listening locally in the greater Baltimore area, the number for you to dial if you'd like to join us, 410-483-3700. You can always weigh in on the chat also, friends, and ask your questions, share your comments that way as well. And we appreciate you taking the time to be with us. And we do want to remind you at the outset of today's broadcast to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And, of course, for those of you that are listening today and wondering about our next broadcast, that will be coming up a little less than 24 hours from now, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. Thanks again for joining us. My name is Pastor John Love. I'll be your host today, along with Pastor Barry Quirk. And we typically, usually, get together on Wednesday mornings to host the broadcast. And we welcome each and every one of our listeners into the program today. Pastor Barry, sexuality and the culture. We're going to talk about sexuality in the classroom today. Mm-hmm. That's something that, of course, you being the principal here at the Greater Grace Christian Academy, you spend a lot of time in those classrooms with our students. And this is a theme and a subject matter that greatly impacts our students, our parents, families, the church.
Yes, it is. It's a big deal. And society's made it a big deal. It's interesting that people are already thinking about when the next broadcast is when you and I come on here. Like, what's going on with that? Let's slow them down just a little bit.
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking about, you know, the pressures that are put on our young people today. You know, when we grew up, our classrooms were not filled with the kind of educational material, air quotes, that we are hearing in our classrooms today. And, of course, there's a huge differentiation between a private Christian school classroom thoughts on these topics and the public pressure. I don't even, you know, I think of it more like a pressure to teach. You're considered an outlier if you don't subscribe to some thought that is really unhealthy and detrimental. I think we're going to talk about some things, some numbers and some health issues here. And yet it's so easily, you know, embraced. It's astonishing to me why it is.
Why do you think that some schools in our culture and in our country today are encouraged not to use terms like boys and girls and ladies and gentlemen?
I mean, it has to be because the author of it is insanity. You know, the author of those kinds of promotions is nothing but chaos, and we know who the author of chaos and insanity is, the devil himself. When you tell a young person to ignore what's true, to believe something that's not true, and call what's true an oppressive thought and dangerous, and call what's untrue liberating, then we have a huge problem. And, you know, it's really hard to grasp why people would embrace this philosophy in such a manner that they would attack anybody who teaches any kind of traditional values, any kind of, and in our case, we understand traditional values come from Christian morals, which are coming from the Bible itself and the direction that we receive from God. So why would you not want to embrace the truth of what the Word of God says and call people by how they were created as a young man and a young woman, a boy or a girl, and call them something that they're not. It's insanity.
Yeah, it really is. And as you said, God's not the author of this kind of confusion. So where does it come from but the God of this world, who loves to blind the minds of them which believe not?
Absolutely.
And you can see how the blind minder is behind all of this, creating this confusion and this deviation from the truth. I think it's so important today, and I know that we do it here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. We do it as a ministry. You do it in the school, the Greater Grace Christian Academy. And that is, we teach the truth, because exposure to the truth can become like a safeguard for our children and young men and women that we're ministering to on a daily basis against this kind of madness that only causes confusion and heartache, anxiety, and all kinds of unnecessary trouble that's introduced into their souls.
Yeah. I mean, when we get inoculated as a child, you know, it's to prevent the growth of disease. And when we don't have truth in our souls, then we are open to any kind of, any wind of doctrine that may blow its way across the horizon. So it is so vital that we have the right kind of teaching. And, you know, growing up in this world today where you are going to be subject to, and it's not just in your home, you could teach, you know, in your home, you could teach Bible doctrine, how to think with God in the details of life, how to fortify your soul, how to put on the whole armor of God, all of these things which we know are vital. But everywhere you go, you're exposed to some other kind of teaching as well. And almost our children grow up in a little bit of a bubble when they grow up in truth. And then when they're exposed to what the world has to offer, if they're not fortified in the right way, they could easily be enticed to leave that thinking. So all the more reason. And I think one of the things that as I worked through this topic on my own, what that I realized was the parental responsibility is huge, right? I mean, God entrusts children to us in a family unit, and he loves the institution of a family. There's no question about it. God loves the institution of a family, created it to be that way here on earth. And somebody is going to teach our children one way or another. It's either going to be the world, pornography, social media, which is a huge topic, and we'll hit on that, social media, peer pressure, all of those things. Well, if that's the case, that they're going to be taught by somebody, then we better make sure that the teaching they receive at home is consistent with the truth, and also that they feel comfortable asking us those questions about hard things that confuse them.
We hear so much today in the news about mental health issues. It's strange to me that nobody seems to be making a connection between sexuality and the exposure of these kinds of insane thoughts and principles with our young people, and then the mental health that results. I mean, we hear, you know, there isn't a day that goes by that we don't hear of someone who's, you know, wants to shoot up a school or go at, I mean, it's just, and there's a connection, isn't there, between the two? I just want to read from Romans, the first chapter, because this is kind of like God's perspective. Because, you know, out there in the world and in our culture, it's just a sea of subjectivity.
Yes.
We have some objectivity in the Word of God. And I've heard a great definition for objectivity. It's a reliable source of reality outside of yourself.
Wow.
It's a good working definition
it is.
For what objectivity is all about. Well, the Bible's objective. Mm-hmm. It is a reliable source of reality, and it's outside of us, but it can be brought inside of us.
Yes.
And we can think objectively in the midst of a sea filled with subjectivity. But listen to what God says, again, to the unbelieving heathen world. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed against heaven, or from heaven, rather, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them.
Mm-hmm.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God or knew there was a God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And isn't that what we see happening today?
Mm-hmm.
The hearts of people being darkened.
Absolutely. And if we make the mistake of thinking that this is happening just by accident, we are missing a very big thing. There is a very real enemy that is intent on making our hearts darkened, on blinding us from the understanding that we have from our Lord and Savior. You know, that we are, the eyes of our understanding has been enlightened by God. So if you're the devil and you have an agenda, you're going to attack that in a big way. And how do they do it? Well, they do it in ways like social media. You know, we're understanding now more than ever how instant the connection can be between people on social media, for better or for worse. You know, in some ways, wow, it's great to reconnect with somebody that you haven't seen in a long time, or, you know, that you lost place of, and you can connect with them, great. But also there are people that you can connect with, you know, anonymously. And here's a couple statistics that I found pertaining to children, because as we're talking about classrooms, we obviously have to think about children. 95% of all the teenagers in the U.S. report having access to a smartphone. You know, that's pretty much given these days. We have children of all ages in our schools, and we have a no-phone policy where they're not allowed to use them during the school day because of the distraction that is a known entity that it provides. Even just a notification that somebody's trying to contact them sends endorphins through their body that distract them from learning. So it's a huge ordeal. But of those 95% of those teenagers, at least 62% of them claim to use the app TikTok, for instance, at least once a month. And I would say that's a very, very conservative number. There are, if we check the screen time on a young person's phone, apps like TikTok or other social media apps are inundating them.
No doubt.
Now, you say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, in some of the studies, again, that I looked at, and these were put out, many of them, by people who are promoting the positive benefits of apps like TikTok, there were people that said, you know, social media has undoubtedly become a tool to bring together individuals with similar interests and foster intimate relationships through sustained interactions. You know, that sounds so nice, except if that sustained interaction is around an anonymous activity which a young person has no idea about what the results will cause in their soul, for instance, mental illness, what you just said.
Yeah.
The instability that can happen to a person when they have no defined truth about who they are. And as a matter of fact, they're told the truth about who you are is oppressive. If you listen to that, you're going to be disappointed. Here's your opportunity to choose a whole number of different identities that could give you liberty from that oppressive behavior. And no wonder why their mental health is affected.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just to emphasize that whole idea, that principle of identity, it's so crucial. I mean, a young person at some point has to establish a personal sense of identity.
Yes.
You know, that conscious sense of individual uniqueness. And as you said, where are they looking for it now? On social media, in all of the various platforms that are available to them. But just to give our listeners an idea, in terms of the mental health among transgender youth, these are young people that don't have an identity. They don't even know what gender they are.
Right.
So they may be transitioning. A young girl may be transitioning to become a young boy, boy transitioning to become, and again, this is all happening in their souls, in their minds.
Yes.
And then some, God forbid, but they even go through a physical process involving operations. I mean, it's just incredible. But listen to these statistics. Mental health among transgender youth. And again, this is among 11-year-olds to 17-year-old transgender youth who were screened for mental health issues. And this is what they discovered. 93% were at risk for psychosis. 91% showed signs of post-traumatic stress disorder. These are not young men or young women on the battlefield in the middle of a war.
Mm.
We hear so much about PTSD, soldiers coming back from war and warlike conflict. We're talking about young people that are in school, going about their lives on a daily basis. 90% likely used drugs. 90% experienced, modest to severe anxiety. 95% moderate to severe depression. These are shocking statistics among young people.
Yes.
I mean, think about it. When you and I were growing up, when many of our listeners were growing up, I mean, did the thought ever cross our mind any given day that we woke up? Gee, I wonder if I'm a boy or a girl.
It absolutely didn't. And it begs to ask the question, why? You know, why are we here today asking these questions in a format where it's the fact that it has to be? You mentioned before the show, I can't believe we even have to talk about this. But you know what? The reality is that there is an evil agenda that's pushing this. And the days that we live in are growing more and more evil. Another comment about the online communities such as TikTok. The online communities on this app allow young people to freely experiment with their sexual identity away from, and listen to this, intolerant users. So in other words, behind their parents' back, behind the people who are wise enough and who have been given charge over the raising and the educating of their young people. And as you said, these are not men who have been prepared and trained to go to war. These are young people with no previous, you know, as it says, they're presented with a whole variety of information and existence of communications, which allow them in many ways to experiment more freely with their sexual identity, which they desire. So in other words, how do they even know what they desire? How does a young person know, growing up, coming out of the womb, that they desire to be a boy when they're a girl? There's some influence that happens in their lives that gives them that. And when we are inundating them with applications like TikTok and other apps where they are spending a whole session of time and being just driven, that the right way to think is the wrong way to think. Mm. And no wonder why mental health is an issue, and no wonder why there's so much dissatisfaction among young people, so much dissatisfaction among parents who, you know, are split between thinking, how could somebody else take the liberty to tell my children, oh, and by the way, this evil agenda protects the schools from ever even telling their children, the parents, that they are, you know, subjectively and objectively in their minds, undermining who they are as a believer, I mean, as a young person, as a gender identity in their own homes. Mm. They're undermining it, and they're giving no excuse for doing it.
Mm. And some of these educators take it upon themselves to inform these children of some of these choices, not their parents. So they're actually overstepping their boundaries, needless to say. I mean, we could say it's time for parents to rise up, to take ownership of your own children and guard their hearts. If they can't guard their hearts, we have the responsibility as parents to guard their hearts for them. It makes perfect sense to me why we see such a resurgence these days of homeschooling.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you have the option to send your children to a Christian school, that's first and foremost, that's the best possible. Because this way, they're not only getting a Christian education, they're not only coming in contact with people who can think objectively and help them to come to grips with their own personal identity as it's found in Christ. But, you know, it's just the best way to rear them up, because it's the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Yes.
And they're getting a stable foundation. That doesn't mean that in every case they're going to come through with flying colors, but it certainly does give them more than a fighting chance.
Yes, for sure. And it might surprise you to know that as the principal of a Christian school, people that can homeschool correctly, I would say that may even be the number one option. I just know that the requirements of doing that are so overwhelming with the life requirements of everything else that it makes it almost impossible to do for a family these days. But I do think there is protection in the fact that you can be you can understand what curriculum is being taught. You can teach it from the mind of Christ. You can have an understanding of where your child's at. And then, yes, Christian school. We, especially when Christian school takes on the purposeful thought that we are going to have Christ-centered viewpoint in everything that we do, that there's going to be biblical integration in everything that we do. And we unashamedly tell parents that come to our school that want an interview to come into our school, you should know that we are Christ-centered education, that everything we do is based on Christ-centered education. And it's so important. And why is it important? Let me just tell you this, Pastor Love. I read an article speaking about the Springfield, Missouri public schools. I mean, you'd think the Heartland, Missouri, conservative. Well, they are the largest public school district in Missouri, and they've adopted a radical gender theory training program that encourages teachers to believe that gender is a universe and to affirm sexual identities such as non-binary, pansexual, and polyamorous. These are what they are asking teachers to purposefully teach in the school. They told administrators and teachers that they must understand that their privileges and identify the positions within the cycles of oppression. In other words, they have said they provided a glossary of critical theory, and they've explained that some groups, in other words, straight, white, cisgender men, have power and privilege over all the others based on categories of race, gender identity, and sexual orientation. So teachers are then asked to classify themselves, to make themselves in their social identity. They account for their race, their gender, their sexual orientation, and socioeconomic status. And then all of these school hierarchies contribute to the cycles of oppression, which are reinforced by the institutions. It's insane. They tell you that all of the opposition of what your parents may have taught you is biblical truth, what the church may have taught you is biblical truth, what society may have said is moral and upstanding, and they've decided that we are going to forcefully teach you that the options that are opposed to all of those moral truths are the ones that will free you from the bondage of those teachings.
And yet Jesus is the one who said, you will know the truth,
and the truth
will set you free.
Absolutely.
It's the truth that sets us free, not these lies that are being propagated today. And it's no wonder why we see parents rising up. You know, you can see even on some social media platforms, parents saying, you know what? Unacceptable.
Yes.
I don't want it. I'm not going to tolerate it. I don't want this kind of literature being exposed to my children. I don't want this kind of a culture of sexuality exposed to my children. It's like, it's just not the place. Parents have the responsibility of raising their children. And we have seen such a tremendous shift in our culture over the past generation, things that we have to talk about today that we could never have even imagined.
No, it's incredible.
A generation ago.
It's incredible. And truth has fallen in the streets.
I mean, absolutely. Really,
which is, if you sit down and watch some of these town hall, like, you know, we've seen in some of our news feeds and our social media where they have a town hall meeting and somebody with a conservative viewpoint, even, we won't even go as far as saying believers, although they most likely were, are making an issue about the kind of material that their children are forced to read or that's available to them in the public school libraries. And they start reading out loud to the school board. And the school board is so, you know, outraged by the fact that they're reading pornographic words and scenes and outlining scenarios that are horrifying. And they're shutting down the speaker saying, you have to stop saying that. That's embarrassing. And yet, they're refusing to take that very same book out of the school and also requiring in some cases that the children read it. What kind of insanity is going on with our leaders that they think that this is a good idea? You know, that Christianity is oppressive, but reading pornographic material, which leaves you full of guilt, empty, you could never live up to those theories that they try to put out there, those fantasy thoughts that they put out there. It'll ruin a marriage. It'll ruin a family. It'll ruin a person's relationship, and yet they want to say without any hesitation that that's completely liberating, and that this bondage called Christianity that teaches you a narrow way to think is wrong and evil.
Yeah, and we're old-fashioned, we're puritanical, we're these fundamental Christians that just don't have any real... We're just out of touch with reality.
Yes,
nonsense. You know, we can turn this around in just a minute.
Yep.
We're going to talk about the answer. How do
yes.
we, you know, the more positive aspects of our conversation? But we shared something this morning with our students in our chapel class, and it had to do with allowing some of these things into our lives, allowing some of these thoughts of madness to be even presented to our school students, our children, and adolescents. Easy to allow those things to come into a person's life. But we shared the story of a 13-foot cobra, 13-foot cobra that was in a zoo that needed some medical attention. So they had to, you know, put it out and you know, use anesthesia to knock it out. And then it took six grown men to carry it into a room where they would give it the medical attention. And then before they completed the project, the zookeeper came in and he says, I have to inform you that the most dangerous part of what you are doing is when you release it and let it go. That's when most people are hurt and injured. Now, in this 13-foot cobra, there was enough venom to kill 1,000 grown men.
Oh, my goodness.
So he said, you must be even more careful, not taking it in. That's the easy part, but letting it go.
Wow.
That's the part, he says, that could kill you.
Wow.
You look at our young people today and what they are potentially taking in. And when they get to a point where they say, this is dangerous, this is harmful, this is destructive, I got to let it go. That's when it becomes more lethal.
Wow.
So allowing it in the first place is the real danger,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then letting it go, oh, that's when you're going to find yourselves, your hands are filled with trouble and problems and something that you might not be able to get free from.
Yeah, and anytime somebody wants to tell you, pay no attention to the venom in the snake, pay no attention to the size of the snake, pay no attention to the fact that it could kill 1,000 people, pay no attention. This is what the world is continuously doing to us. They're telling us it's all, you know, it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about everything that everybody's saying. And somehow we are so blinded in our society that we accept that gladly and that we tell people that this is the way to go. And you know, we are talking about the redemption and how do we prevent that. But the reality is that we live in a world where they're telling us that drag shows are not only okay, but that you should bring your children to them. It's just highbrow comedy. It's just, you know, this is just liberating them from, oh my goodness, we are headed for such disaster. It's no wonder why the Lord wants to come back soon.
Yeah, even so.
Or we want the
come
Lord
quickly,
to come back soon.
Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, one of the questions posed to us on the broadcast today is, you know, what does society gain from sexualizing young children in school?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is pretty clear. Nothing.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. I don't get it. I mean, they say, no, they've got to be informed. They've got to be educated. But don't you think that what they're doing is softening the turf, so to speak, in the sense that they're creating a much greater tolerance for these ideas to be brought into the lives of the next generation?
Oh, incredibly. I mean, I couldn't agree with that more. The softening of the soil, the wearing down of the saints, you know, the challenges that our children face about any kind of structure or any ability to limit before you ever get the snake into the room.
Yes,
you know, to limit and to see that danger is something that I'm never gonna enter into. And you know, I was reminded again, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know, in one sense, I'm shocked and surprised and amazed at what's going on in the world. In the other sense, I say, the days are evil.
Yeah.
You know, we are drifting further and further from the truth. Christian nations have become post-Christian nations. The postmodern thought says that there's no absolutes, just trust whatever you feel to be right. There's so much, you know, going away from the truth that you know, what does the world gain? Well, I think there is a big absence of truth and morals and values. And think about even the family. You know, actually, we had our brother Mark DeMoss was here speaking to us last week. And, you know, when he spoke to us, there was a lot of emphasis on why Christian schools and Christian education and the truth, you know, and the hours that somebody is subjected to the world and to areas outside of God versus the hours they're subjected to God. We have to make sure that we give ample opportunity for that. But, you know, and then we follow up with some thoughts about what do we believe about marriage and sexuality. And the world stands to gain nothing but wants to tell you that we all stand to gain everything. But as we also know, every society that's been overtaken has started with the undermining of the family structure. The undermining of the authority of the family, the undermining of somebody who's in subjection to God, the institutions of free volition, the institution of marriage. And these are things, you know, we believe that our marriage philosophy, our philosophy about sexuality and those things are based on the scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16. We believe in concrete absolutes that the Bible teaches, that we're all created in the image of God in Genesis 1:26. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know that, Romans 3:23. But we also know that his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy extends to all of us who turn from our sins and ask for it, Ephesians chapter 2, 4 and 5. And a marriage is a picture of Christ's relationship with his bride, the church, right? And this is, again, Ephesians 5:22 and 23. So if that's a picture of how Christ operates in unity, in preferring one another, in love, in knowing absolutely who you are and what you bring into that union, and how we all need the picture of Christ's humility and mercy, and then the devil comes in and says, I hate that. I hate that unity. That's what he stands to gain, an assailing of the values of Christ. And if we can't see that, then we're going to be subject to the teaching of it. If we can't see that it is an absolute attack and that it's absolutely creeping its way into everything that we do, our classrooms, our family structures, you know, marriage is looked at like a ball and a chain instead of a relationship that can be encouraging and be a benefit to the body of Christ. It's looked at as old-fashioned, you know, polyamorous positions with identities, whatever makes you feel good in the moment, no thoughts about what the future holds as a result of those decisions. It has to be an attack from the devil. It has to be. There's no other way that we could say what the benefit of it is.
And the saddest part of it all is that the principle of sowing and reaping, it doesn't disappear. God made it very clear in the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter. He even starts out by saying, don't be deceived. Mm-hmm. God will not be mocked.
Right.
Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. If he sows to the flesh, he reaps corruption.
Yes.
If he sows to the spirit, he reaps life everlasting. So, mm-hmm. you know, through this whole process and what we see happening in our culture today, you know, God's not going to be mocked.
That's right.
I mean, there will be a reaping of those who are sowing these kinds of ideas and thoughts and placing them in the hearts and minds of this generation. And I think, again, we mentioned it earlier, but just to back up a bit, mm-hmm. behind it all is the God of this world trying to destroy a generation
yes.
of young people. Why? Because I think he knows that whoever wins this next generation wins the future. So that's what's at stake. A lot mm-hmm. of Christians don't think that way, but that's really what's at stake. Mm-hmm. The next generation, the future. So we have to, you know, do our part to win a generation to Christ. And how do we do that? What is the answer? What are we going to be able to put in front of our young people that is, you know, we're going to say this is the alternative to what you might find on your social media platforms, mm-hmm. what you might find in what some educators are telling you in a public school system or in a collegiate atmosphere?
Yeah, I mean, I think for starters, we have to realize that the responsibility that we have as families, as parents, is a huge one, right? That when our children are very young, and I know we'll get to the what here in a minute, but you know, some parents find this topic of sexuality to be awkward and embarrassing. You know, I don't really want to talk about it with my children. Well, if you don't talk about it with them, someone else is going to.
Yeah.
And they're going to tell them things that aren't true and aren't based on what's best for them, but what feels good to them, whether it's good for you or not, it's about what it feels like to them. So if your parents are telling you don't, it probably means you should, because your parents don't want you to experience something good. It's such a lie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But parents have to work when their kids are very young. I mean, when they're very young, speaking matter-of-factly, not about sexuality, but just about your bodies, and this is what this is, because kids are curious and they want to know, what is this, Dad? Why do I, you know? And to be able to speak to them in a way that says, this is the way God created you. You'll understand this later on more in life when it's time to talk about that. We'll talk about that, but I want you to be comfortable to ask me the questions,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That your conversations will transition naturally into more complex areas as your child gets older and they get more mature. But it's important that they know that they can talk to you, right? It's if they don't feel like they can talk to you, if you're embarrassed, they're embarrassed. If they feel comfortable, you know, if you feel comfortable talking to them, they're going to be comfortable. And because there is a real, we have to tell them there's a real biological design that God designed. And actually, that biological design in its place is very useful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But outside of its place is very dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't we make that distinction? Before our child ever enters into the arenas of public opinion and peer pressure and social media, if they walk in there with an understanding that they have a very real enemy who wants to destroy them, who is looking for ways to creep in and to undermine the truth, then they have a much better opportunity of being able to withstand those attacks, right? We withstand the devil's attacks and he flees from us out of embarrassment, you know? And how much more will he flee from us when we have all of those things coming at us in such an oppressive way that nobody should be able to withstand them? And yeah, we see young people all the time come through with shining results, right? And, you know, they're not perfect. We've failed. We've fallen short of the glory of God. But guess what? We get up every morning brand new, and we walk in truth, and we, you know, we fight the good fight of faith, and we continue in it. And people come through shining forth, like, incredibly, right? And they're going to be rewarded for it in eternity.
Yeah.
And even here while we're in the present.
Yeah, so true. Well, I've got a number of different comments, people appreciating what we're talking about. Aretta says, good morning, pastors. We are in the days when we will have, they're going to call evil good, good evil. They're going to change the word of God and turn it into a lie. How true that is. Madeline appreciates the broadcast today. Says, we have to be so careful with what we take in to our minds and our souls. And her prayer is, please, Heavenly Father, help people to see your truth. And Carol says, praise God, thanks for giving us the truth on this subject. For those who don't know God's mind and these horrible things that the devil is telling our youth and parents, this is a great truth that you're sharing. Thank you for that. Again, you can hear it from the folks that are listening today, how much they appreciate our thoughts about this, because it is unfortunately a subject that we have to discuss and we have to talk about. We're not, as you said a moment ago, we're not anti-sex.
No.
It's like God designed it. God created it. It's God's idea. How about that? And some would say, well, then if it's God's idea, then why can't we let everybody tell us a little bit more about it? Because there's a distorted,
yes,
a perverse,
yes,
view of it because, yes, of the nature of sinful humanity.
Yeah, and the world tells us that if we follow God's ways, it's not pleasurable. It couldn't be. It's the farthest thing from the truth. If you operate in truth, the pleasure is not only physical, but it's spiritual, it's emotional, mm-hmm, it's guilt-free.
Yeah,
it's everything that it's not when it's in the world. And yeah, and we have to realize that leaving values training to others is very, very dangerous.
Yes.
It's specifically or particularly regarding matters of sexuality, because they will tell you that there is so much on the other side of the pasture that's greener, and yet we know from truth that it's an absolute lie, and it leaves people home, you know, hurting and empty and broken instead of fulfilled and satisfied, as God designed for it to be in the union of marriage. He wants us to be fruitful and to reproduce in His way, in His way.
Absolutely. Do we have a caller? Looks like we do.
From Montreal, the place where you're going to be headed.
Wonderful. Go ahead, caller. You're live on the Grace Hour.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Barry. This is Hannah from Montreal.
Hi, hey, Hannah.
Hello. I just wanted to add to what Pastor Barry was saying about schools having an agenda when teaching. You know, there's so many kids struggling with their sexual identity because all of the influence they receive at schools. And, you know, kids are supposed to learn, and what they're learning is just making them more confused.
Yes.
And so we've seen that in Montreal. Actually, last week there was a protest against education, LGBT education at schools, and hundreds of people marched Wednesday morning. And it just comes to show that there is something wrong in our system, in our school system, and
yes,
people are seeing it in Montreal. And I was just so encouraged to listen to this episode today. And I also wanted to promote our Canadian conference this weekend. Montreal is really excited to see you and everyone from Baltimore. I just want to encourage everyone to come out for the weekend. And, yeah.
Thank you, Hannah. We're going to have a great time together with you, the body of Christ there, with various meetings, outreaches. We're so excited. We'll be on our way Friday morning, heading to Montreal for the weekend.
And thank God for people like you and the church in Montreal that have convictions about these topics, right? This is why we go to these places. And Pastor James and Jill and the team up there, you know, you guys are a light, a shining light in a dark area. And we're so thankful for the way that you see the truth and stand up for it. It's amazing.
Yeah, and we are thankful for you guys for all the teachings that you guys are pouring into us all the way from Baltimore. So we are so excited, and we'll see you this weekend.
Amen. Thanks for the call, Hannah. Let's take our next caller. George is joining us live in the Grace Hour, and I'll bet he's fired up. George, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, Pastor Love, Pastor Barry. Wow, what a subject. You know, they're robbing our children's innocence today, and it's just heartbreaking, you know, just to see it going on and everything. And I'm sitting here, you know, and I always, you know, I'm a retired federal employee, so I get, you know, each year they mail me changes, and this is for all federal employees throughout the United States, okay, in our health plans and everything. And I just wanted to read you real quickly of something new that's in our health plan, gender-affirming care. In the 2024 plan year, Office of Personnel Management recommends that federal employee health benefit carriers review updated information from recognized entities such as the World Professional Association of Transgender Health, the Endocrine Society, and the Fenway Institute for changes in medical policies and adjust accordingly. Executive Order 14035 directs Office of Personnel Management to promote equitable health care coverage and services for enrolled LGBTQ plus employees and their covered family members through the FEHB program. So that's going to affect children, too, all families.
Sure.
You know, and it's just, this is the first time I've ever seen this. You know, I've been retired a while now, and this is a change they're making. And you saw where it came from, executive order, right? You know where that comes from, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. So it's just that the changes that are going on now are just like shocking. Like when you were reflecting, Pastor Love, on when we were growing up and everything like that. I mean, when I was in high school, when I graduated in 1972, we had sexual education courses, but there was nothing like this. You know what I'm saying? That these poor kids are exposed to today. I mean, it was nothing like this. You know, it was, and then the public school system was totally different then. Teachers did never tell you in a classroom. They would tell you how the government worked, but they would never say, go tell your parents who to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And crazy stuff like that. And that's what our children are going through today throughout, except, you know, God bless our school. You know, they're not going through that in our school, by the grace of God, you know.
I sure hope not.
You're missing the mark.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is what's happening around our nation.
Yeah.
And it's very dangerous. And what you said, Pastor Love, about robbing of the innocence of our children.
Mm-hmm.
and Jesus loves the little children, baby.
Wow. That's
and awesome. And when you steal that innocence, come, Lord Jesus, quickly.
Yeah, don't offend them. If you do, it might be better off if a millstone were hung around your neck.
Wow.
You were cast into the ocean.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, yeah. George, thanks. We're out of time, but appreciate your comments.
Love you. Yep.
Well, as we close the broadcast today, Pastor Barry, there's a proverb, Proverbs 6, verse 32. It says, "Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He that does it destroys his own soul."
Wow.
There is the power to destroy your own soul when there is a misunderstanding, an inaccurate teaching regarding sexuality as a whole. That's dangerous stuff.
Yep.
We can't afford to let that happen, and that's why we stand up and we fight for this generation. And as believers, it looks like, you know, Christianity for us is, it's not a playground; it's more like a battleground these days.
That's right.
So we have to stand up, and we have to stand based upon the convictions that we've derived from the objective truth, which is the Bible itself.
No, you're right. It's
let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, the Bible says that we're living in perilous times, right?
Yes.
It says that perilous times shall come in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Men will be lovers of their own selves, right? Lovers of their own selves without natural affection, despisers of those that are good. And we've seen that in what's happening around us. And so the Bible can be trusted. The character and nature of God can be trusted. Let the chips where they fall where they will.
Yep.
But we know where we can get our fortification, and you know, forget an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Mm. You know, Bible doctrine keeps the evil from seeping into our children's skulls and causing them to end up with robbery taking place, and they miss all of those benefits that God wants to have for them.
Yeah. We'll close the broadcast with a promise. We love the promises of God. But Listen to this one. John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus did promise us, in the world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Wow.
And God makes us overcomers through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us, friends. We'll be back tomorrow for the next live edition of the Grace Hour. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And again, we'll be back in a little less than 24 hours from now. Until then, may God bless you.